Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
I want us to turn to the scriptures from John chapter 13. And we have some verses that have been already prepared for us. And let's just read together. John 13, 1 to 5, and then 12 to 15 from God's word. Let's go. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go back to the Father. And Jesus loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the very end. While supper was taking place, everybody say, while supper was taking place, the devil had already put the idea of betraying Jesus into the mind of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Verse 3. The Father had put everything in Jesus' control, and Jesus knew that. He also knew that he had come from God and was going back to God. So he got up from the table, removed his outer clothes, took a towel, and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with a towel that he had tied around his waist. Verse 12, after Jesus had washed their feet and put on the outer clothes, he took his place at the table again. Then he asked his disciples, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example that you should follow." Father, thank you for blessing this little bread to nourish our spirit and change our lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Last week, you know, our series of basically what we have a series here, and it's on, we're dealing with the focus of Christ's final moment. The focus of Christ's final moment. And last week, we were honored to have Miss McKenna. You know, she was here with the same subject, opening it up to us, the focus of Christ's final moment, but her title was The Summoning. You know, basically what she was saying is, what keeps people tied to the pole instead of obeying his summons, the summons that are coming from above? This was asked last week, and I'll ask it again. If you only had a few days to live, what would you prioritize? What would you do? What would you say? What would you focus on? Here's my answer to help you a little bit. I'm sure that there are some things that you and I could cut out if we had a week to live, a few days to live. We cut out arguments, quarreling, disputing with siblings, workmates, and so forth. Maybe neighbors. And we will focus on what? A few other things, like blessing others, forgiving others, loving others, showing them our kindness, our generosity, and embracing our family, embracing my family, your family, and choosing to spend the most time of that time, which is so precious, with them. Amen? See, somebody put it this way, and I love this. If you had a week left to your life, how would you live those days, and why aren't you living that way now? See, we are taking these weeks leading up to Easter to look at Jesus' final moments, what he chose to focus on, and what we can learn from it. Today, our subject is the serving. The serving. Everybody said the serving. Just wanting to appreciate. Just a few days ago, Nairobi Lighthouse Church celebrated 37 years of existence. Isn't that awesome? 37 years. Come on, tell your neighbor, we are growing. There's an adult in the picture right here. This church is an adult right now. We're growing. We're still growing and increasing. You know, and I say this because of also the honor. And I want to say, Pastor Don and Miss Amy, thank you for the way that you have demonstrated godly leadership and exemplified servanthood through your faithful love, your consistent service to the entire leadership, the pastors as he has witnessed, the entire leadership of this house and beyond this house, as well as the entire congregation of Nairobi Lighthouse Church, those present and those who are not present. Can you put your hands and let's just, come on. I don't want you to party kid. I want you to really. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Thank you, guys. Pastor, the way you love Miss Amy and your family, and in particular, even in this season of time that is rather challenging, speaks volumes in regard to this subject. Thank you for going before us, even before I preach, in so many ways, setting the pace for this church. Amen. In John chapter 13 all the way to chapter 17, we leave the multitude behind and follow Jesus as he lived the last week of his life on earth before his crucifixion. We call it the Passion Week. And quickly, I just want to pass through. Sunday, what happened on Sunday? The triumphant entry into Jerusalem. On Monday, the following day, the cleansing of the temple. On Tuesday was the conflicts in the temple. In the Tuesday evening, the discourse on the Mount of Olives. On Thursday evening, preparation for the Passover. On Thursday evening, the Last Supper, which we're concerned about here today with his disciples. This was the last evening together with his disciples that Jesus had. So the last words are always very important. And Jesus was about to leave his disciples and was giving them his last instructions. And they are very important. And I think we must pay attention to those words as well. Notice that he gathered his own disciples around him in an upper room and then told them many secrets before he departed from them. He wanted to comfort his disciples. Of course, because he knew he's about to depart. And he knew that they would be like sheep without a shepherd. It is wonderful to know that Jesus selected and loved men like this man. Judas Iscariot. You know, Simon. John. Bartholomew. When you think about Matthew, the people that he picked up, it's amazing. Very amazing. It tells me God specializes in making somebodies out of nobodies. You know, he called them and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Come on, as long as we are following authority, delegated authority, God is about to make something out of us. I want to tell you, Nairobi Lighthouse Church is not yet over. God is still building this church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen and amen. This is what he did with his first group of followers and has continued to do so through the centuries until today. The word of God tells us from the text that we read in verse 4 that he got up from supper. Say, he got up from supper. Another version says that he got up from the table. And I want you to know that there are three things I'm going to share with us. Three things that must happen and needed to happen in Jesus' own life. And if they had to happen in his life, they have to happen in our life. And they were all shifts, certain shifts that had to happen. The first one, based on this scripture, he got up, was that there was a shift in Jesus' priority. See, anytime you talk about priorities, you are referring to ranking things, ordering things according to their degree of importance. Eating is important. I missed a great shout from the men especially. I said eating is very important, especially the Lakeside boys. Because you know the disciples were Lakeside boys. You know? Especially the Lakeside boys. eating samak and kuon. Ugalai. You know what ugalai is? You know, Pastor always tells us that the way to a man's heart is through the what? Through the tummy, through the stomach. And I believe him. This is where ministry is located. Huduma inapatikana pale. They literally were doing this. Grabbing, they didn't have ugali, they had bread. Grab the bread. Everybody grab your bread. That is winning. See, they were in the vision. And then they were consolidating. And then they discipled. Come on, mentor that thing. Deal with that thing. Disciple. And then swallow. You have sent it where it belongs. Hallelujah. It's real ministry. All this process stopped because there was a shift in Jesus' priorities. Sometimes you could be eating a meal. I could be eating a meal and I'm expecting a call. An important call, very important call. And it comes in the middle of my meal. Guess what? My priorities will change from that moment. I may have to leave my food. Some men won't leave the food. They will stop eating, but they will not leave their food there. Especially based on what the food is. They might take them the food with them. Atunasema nini? And then they put the food so that they can be where it is. So that where you are, I may be also. Some of you have not read the Bible properly. So listen, at that point, what happened is very important to you. So immediately, your priorities change. You shift gears. You're in another mode altogether, right? Jesus must have received a heavenly call and immediately knew that it was time to proceed with his Father's plan. So he stood up. Come on, he did what? Meaning that it was time to do something. Nobody stands for nothing. He began to move towards a desired goal in order to fulfill a desired purpose. We should ask ourselves, what do I need to stop and what do I need to start? See, waiters stand. A waiter in a hotel or restaurant stands to do something, isn't it? With a readiness to serve. But they don't come sliding on a chair on wheels to your location. And then they stop there and look at you and say, Sasa, you will wonder, what kind of a waiter is this? Waiter stand. Jesus stood. And then Jesus, it says here, Jesus was willing to do something unpreferred. Unpreferred. He may have wanted to finish his meal, but he was willing to shift priorities. Let the food wait. I've got more important matters to do and to attend to. You and I should never postpone obedience. Rise up to the moment of need to do something and to serve. Your service is crucial. Don't procrastinate. Amen. Don't. That is to put for tomorrow what you can do what? Today. You and I have to get up and to do his bidding. In First Samuel 25, there's a story about Abigail. And Abigail, amazingly, Abigail was a beautiful woman, but very wise. A discerning woman. David called her discerning. A discerning woman. In 1 Samuel 25, David sent 10 of his men to Nabal, to Carmel, during, the place is called Carmel, during a season of shearing of sheep, because he desired to receive something from Nabal during a time of harvesting and time of shearing, a time of plenty. But to his regret, the people he sent, the 10 men, returned just saying how Nabal abused David. Nabal, you know, looked down upon them. Nabal did not even send them with anything, not even with water to drink. And they used to take care of his shepherds, watch over them so that nothing will be lost. But now here is Nabal. And so when they got back, David took 400 men. He had 600. He took 400 men and started on his way to Carmel. Guess what he was going to do? He was going to destroy all the men in Nabal's household. No, he said, by morning there will not be a man standing. He was angry. But something happened. Why? Because Abigail, when she was told about it, got out, prepared cakes, raisins, prepared five or seven sheep and prepared them well and took a lot water to drink, wine, five jars of wine, and took a donkey, told one of the young men, take this ahead of me. Then she took a donkey and hastily says she went to serve David, to meet him with what he had been denied. Judgment was coming because there had been a denial. And David thought, I think of all, I deserve at least a little bread and a little wine from this man. I protected him. I protected his people. And guess what happened at that point? She came and she bowed down, came out of a donkey, and she said, David, put it on me. Forget my husband. He's a fool. In fact, Nabal means fool. Forget him. Listen to this. Your obedience and promptness can save the day. Secondly, from the same verse, we continue reading. He took off his cloak and tied a servant's towel. Took off his cloak and tied a servant's towel. The second shift that must take place and took place in Jesus' life, there was a shift in his position. There was a shift in his position. Position is a place where someone or something is located or has been put. Taking off his robe represents taking off barriers, excuses. You know, why we should not do, why we should not serve. Taking off, our identity. For us to serve like Jesus, we need to be willing to take off our titles, our positions. You know, like somebody saying, do you know who I am? You don't know I'm the manager? I'll tell you what I don't know. I don't know, or I don't think you can serve. Because you're so taken up with your position, you can't even serve your employees. Because you don't know who I am. Husband, take a lower position and serve your wife. Wash our feet, so to speak. Fathers, serve your children. Teachers, serve your disciples, serve your students. And the list goes on. Cell leader, serve your members. It doesn't matter, ministry leader, serve those that are under you. So to speak, washing their feet. Just like Matthew 20, 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, paying the price to set them free from the penalty of sin, so did Jesus come. So ought we to go. Served to me, I believe, this is Matthew 20:28 Amplified. Served is a higher position, speaks of a higherness. But serve speaks of a lower position. Matthew 23 and verse 11 says, Jesus was talking to his disciples, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. The greatest. There is a message a pastor has preached, and we used to preach in the leadership message for many years. It was race to the bottom. Everybody wants to race to the top. Who's willing to serve? Because the people who are racing to the top want to be served. So if everybody wants to be served, then who will serve? Jesus is a perfect example. As the head of the church, he was free from worldly pride of appearance. Isaiah 53 and verse 2, he had no form, no comeliness. This is from that lesson. Then he was free from worldly success, the pride of worldly success. Isaiah 53 verse 3, he was despised and rejected of men. Now, the third one was he was free from the pride of reputation. Matthew 2:23, he shall be called a Nazarene. Is it any wonder one of the disciples, Nathanael, says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? For he was free from the pride of riches. Matthew 8:20 tells us that he had no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes. Jesus himself had no place to lay his head. Rank. The fifth one is rank. He was free from the position of his rank. You know, the pride that comes with rank. Is not this a carpenter's son, they asked? Yet he was the Messiah. Matthew 13:55. And finally, he was free from the pride of kingship. John 13:5, which you covered today, he washed the disciples' feet. The king washed his subjects' feet. Is it any wonder that Philippians 2 verse 9 says in the Amplified, has this to say about Christ. Therefore, because he stooped so low, strips himself, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. The name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say amen. That's why I love this song. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. Can you give Jesus worthy worship, worthy praise? He left heaven to come on this dusty earth to wash dusty feet. And finally, he poured water. Verse 5, he poured water in the basin and washed the feet. He poured water in the basin and washed the feet. There was a shift in his. There was a shift in his perspective. Perspective means a way of thinking about and understanding something. A way of thinking about and understanding something. What did Jesus see? What did he understand by the time he's going to wash the disciples' feet? What did he see? What did he know that we don't know or we need to know? Well, earlier, I'll help you. Earlier on, Jesus was at Simon's house. And a woman came in. Not a very clean woman. Not a very godly woman. And she came in. And Luke 7:38 says, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with the hair of her head. And kissed his feet affectionately and anointed them with the ointment or perfume. This woman must have seen something. This woman, and I'll let you know why. This woman must have seen something or known something that she was able to come to Jesus. What did she see? What did she know? What was revealed to her? Because after this, her life was never the same again. It was transformed. He came to set the captives free. She must have known, this is the Messiah. Just like a woman of the world said, come see the Messiah. Who told her it was the Messiah? Well, it was the Messiah. I think Jesus revealed enough to that woman. But what about this woman? She knew. See, listen to this statement. Okay? Unless we see people rightly, we cannot serve them as we ought to. We cannot. Romans chapter 10, verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. If you want to see people like you ought to see them, I have one word for you. Serve them. If you want to see God like you ought to see God, serve God with all of your heart. If you want to see Nairobi Lighthouse Church and know what is Nairobi Lighthouse Church anyway all about? Serve in this house. Serve as an usher. Serve in creative arts. Serve in the worship team. Serve where you are able to serve and watch your journey of revelation of who Nairobi Lighthouse Church is. Because God will reveal to you. Listen to this. I believe that all pastors here can attest to this. That we've had people who've come and taken time with us to serve us maybe for a day or we're doing ministry. And after we finish that ministry, I've had at least, I'm sure the other pastors can say that, I've had someone tell me, Pastor, now I know how to pray for you. What happened? What happened? They see us from a different perspective because they are serving us. They were serving. When you serve this man and his wife, you will see things differently. You cannot remain the same. The goal of God where service is concerned is to bring transformation into your life, to bring lasting change into your life. Example is the best example. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Jesus wasn't repulsed by the hard work or the dirty feet. He saw their feet, in fact. You see, Jesus saw something. He saw their feet as vital instruments to take the gospel to the waiting. Since they were all clean now, except one, Judas. But they were clean. He was not talking about their feet being clean. He was talking about their heart. Their lives were clean. But he says, now let me deal with your feet, because I honor you. That these feet, he says, my feet, in fact, he didn't tell them, but that's what he was saying to himself. My feet are about to be held on a rugged cross. They're about to be nailed in a matter of hours on a rugged cross. I'll not be able to use my feet again on this land of Israel. But I am washing your feet. I am taking care of your feet. I'm coming to wash your feet so that you will make your feet and the feet of generations to come become my feet to take my gospel to all who are waiting and in need. Say amen. Listen to me. Everybody here has a part to play. So let each of us hold a basin, guard on a towel, and do the work of a servant. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, amplified. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders, the ministers, and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe yourselves, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility, as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance towards one another. For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them, but gives grace, which is favor and blessing, to the humble. Amen. Come on, that's a good place to clap. What a scripture. This is Peter speaking to the church now, not Jesus. Jesus is long gone. Let us be marked by wearing the cloth of a servant, the garb of a servant. What is the cloth of servanthood? Humility. Because you'll never do what Jesus did unless you take on that attitude. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27 says this, that we are all one body. Come on, we are with many members. One body, but many? Many members. So what are we talking about? The body is not all a kidney. Can I hear a good amen? How, if the body was a kidney, how would it even stay here? It has to be connected to flesh, connected to tubes, connected to pipes, to do what? To work. It has to be connected to other forms of life. Come on. It's more than just one body is many parts, and every part supports the other and serves the other for the body to be completed. Nairobi Lighthouse Church at 37, unless we serve each other and give ourselves and are willing to surrender everything that God has given us, we will deny this body the life that God has promised and ordained that it will have. So I want to tell you this. First of all, I want to say this as I finish with a little story. There was a guy called Buddies. He was called Buddy. This guy got saved, and then he started hearing, almost from the time he got saved, these words, two words. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. And he didn't understand. He had little Bible knowledge. Lack of knowledge can mess up people. He started looking for the bigger things to do. He even went to the pastor one time, and he told the pastor, I'm hearing I need to get involved. Can you make me an elder of the church? He's a novice. And the pastor said, I don't know whether you're serious. He said, there's no room. Unless one elder dies, we can't make you an elder. Yani, there's no room for you to. And basically, he was like, he's frustrated until he had a scripture. Chronicles 22. The pastor read this. This was not his subject. But he read it every morning before he brought his sermon. And he read this. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance. Oh, hewers, workers of stone, timber, all manner of cunning for every man of work. David was telling his son Solomon, who was taking over. He said, God has already provided people. Can I tell you, there are workers in abundance. The question is, who's willing to come down like Jesus came from their high place? May the Lord bless us as we yield ourselves. The bottom line, let's clothe ourselves with humility and serve one another. Amen and amen and amen. Just want to say to you, today you're here. Let me tell you a secret to reaching the destiny that God has for you. If you're a member of this house, I want to tell you, Nairobi Lighthouse Church is not what it is without people like the people I've just preached about. We need people to serve. You can talk to your leadership. You can talk to people. You can talk to the pastors. You can talk to your cell leader. But don't do something like Buddy. Finally, when he read that scripture, he said, I understand. I can help. 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 And guess what? God will anoint you. We sang about be a vessel so he can anoint you. God will anoint you and will use you for his glory. Amen. Father, I pray for this congregation today. God, I know that there are hearts that you're dealing with. God, we cannot just come and attend church. We can do more than what we are doing. Why? Because there's a blessing in the sacrifice of serving. God, I pray for creative wisdom. I pray for open doors. I pray, Father, even it may not be a ministry that is in Lighthouse right now, but because of our willingness, our obedience, God, you're opening doors for service in the name of Jesus. Out of a heart of humility, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, thank you for the heart of a servant. Say, Lord, give me the heart of a servant. Come on, say, Lord, give me the heart of a servant. Now, do you believe God has given you the heart of a servant? Say with me, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Can you give him praise one more time?
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp on 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.